Hi, I'm Melissa Corkum. I blog at our family website, www.thecorkums.com, which we affectionately call The Corkboard. This is the Uncorked Podcast, conversations with everyday extraordinary people, people who have conquered, people making a difference in their worlds, brave and beautiful people, but people who in the end are just like you and me. If there's one thing I've learned over the past 10 years, it's about how much I didn't know that I didn't know, and how much I still don't know. Our experiences in adoption and loving kids who have aged out of the foster care system, living in the country but owning a coffee shop in the city, and just traveling internationally have so greatly expanded our horizons and shifted our paradigms. And hopefully, we're better humans for it. The one common theme through all of those experiences, though, was just listening to people's stories. Patty Dye once said, "The shortest distance between two people is a story." So pull up a chair and an open mind and meet another one of my everyday extraordinary friends. Welcome to episode 18. Never in a million years did my husband and I think we were cut out to raise a child with special needs. I'm convinced my guest today is going to forever change the disability community with her huge heart and brilliant idea. But before I introduce her, I just wanted to draw your attention to a recent blog post about something I've ignored for a while, but I really need to start taking seriously. It's planning a secure financial future for our son who is fetal alcohol affected. I'm sharing in the hope that it's helpful for you, but also to keep me accountable, to continue moving forward and actually turn my thoughts into actions. If you're further down the road than us, I'd love your input, experiences, and feedback. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at M.A. Corkum. So as I was saying, this whole special needs situation, really not cut out for it. In fact, when we set out to adopt, we were careful to only check off what we considered, quote, minor correctable special needs. Honestly, I'm reminded every day that we're really still not cut out to do special needs. It's been the most challenging and most sanctifying experience, which is why I wouldn't trade it for the world. Besides the fact that this parenting journey is making me just a better human, it's been the reason that I've crossed paths with really amazing people like my guest today. Summer Kugel is the founder and genius behind AbleFinder, a nonprofit whose mission is to help build a more connected and empowered global disability community. I can't wait for you to hear what she's rolling out, so let's jump in. Hi, Summer. Welcome to the Uncorked Podcast. I'm so glad we were able to pull this off and get together, even though we're across different time zones.
Well, me too. Very glad to be here.
So let's just start off, and you obviously have a beautiful accent that's not American, and you're living abroad. So tell us a little bit about where you are originally from and then where you are now.
Okay. Well, I am Australian, born and bred. My family has been there forever. And there I obviously don't sound any different from anybody else. We're a very multicultural country. But right now I'm actually living in Bulgaria, in Eastern Europe with my fiance. So yes, I do stand out. I haven't yet met another Australian in Bulgaria. And every time somebody finds out I'm Australian, they like to make kangaroo gestures. So I'm a little bit of an oddity at the moment and trying my best to learn Bulgarian, but it's not the easiest language, especially for my accent to get around.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine that's really challenging. So yeah. Go ahead and introduce the rest of yourself to the audience. Kind of who are you? What makes you you? What do you do day to day?
Okay. So when I saw this question as one of the ones that you mentioned, I really had to stop and think, you know, how would I describe myself? And the first thing that popped up was that I am a massive introvert. I very much like my own space and my own time. And weirdly, on top of that, I have always really wanted to work with and I guess to help people, which I guess are kind of sort of opposites. And I think that has very much come about from my experience as a child. I grew up in a broken home. And then when I was 18, my mom kind of pushed me out the door, you know, to go and travel the world. And I was very lucky to spend 8 months volunteering at a school in South Africa. And after that, I did quite a bit of traveling. So I think, you know, having an expanded worldview and seeing how different people live and the sorts of challenges that different people sort of face it made me want to, I guess, contribute in a big way, in whatever way that I could, to the world. So that's kind of my big passion. And on top of that, I am a vegan, a self-confessed crazy cat lady. I love to read, and I also love to cook. So I guess that's kind of me in a nutshell.
I love it. I love it. I love that idea of worldview and being able to travel. We have traveled just a little bit internationally through our adoption experiences, but that's one of the things that has been, that has stood out as we've traveled, is that we just so take for granted the world that we live in, and we just kind of make these subconscious assumptions that everyone else has these basic underlying paradigms. But I've found that that's not really true, that there's the things that I think are obvious. Surely everyone knows about this or believes this, are not as true as I thought. Is that kind of what you found as you've traveled around?
Completely. You know, and I think especially, like, I've always liked to travel in a way that means that I stay put for a little while and actually get to know the community that I'm in. And I think when you do that, you realize that this community operates in a completely different way to you, and you don't necessarily want to challenge that because you realize, you know, their life goes on in this way. So it's more about sitting back and kind of, you know, I guess experiencing the world that they do. And that's been really challenging in a lot of ways, especially in South Africa, for example. I mean, it's a beautiful country. The people there are incredible. But I guess racism was something that I encountered almost every day, you know, and it's almost this entrenched part of their life in many ways. So that was very, I guess, confronting for me, you know, to have people referring to themselves or to their friends as by their skin color. And then particularly in Eastern Europe, I guess having differences in terms of disability, particularly, is something that people don't really talk about, and it's something that's kind of kept behind closed doors as well. Whereas in Australia, you know, we're very much focused on inclusive education, inclusive access, you know, to the social environment, everything that might make people, you know, be able to enjoy the life that everybody else does. That isn't something that really happens so much in Bulgaria, which has been very, very confronting for me, and obviously is something that I'm very passionate about, you know, trying to, I guess, help expand their worldview in terms of disability and people with differences.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that brings me to where we kind of connected. We connected through Instagram and through your Able Finder account and channel, and how you share different stories of all these wonderful kids and what makes them unique and special outside of whatever their disability or special need is. And so tell me a little bit more about that. How did that come about? It sounds like you kind of have always loved helping other people, but where was the kind of exact idea of Able Finder born?
It's a kind of a long story, but I'll cut it short. So I guess to start off with, my mum, she was born with a sensory neural hearing loss. So she grew up not hearing, I guess, the higher frequency sounds, like the S and the SH kind of sounds. And because of that, she ended up with, I guess, a speech error. So she says words funny. And because of that, she was quite severely bullied at school. So I think from about the age of 6 or something, I decided that I wanted to be a speech pathologist. And so that's what I studied at university. And through that, I came across, I think the first little boy I worked with had autism. And that's when I kind of discovered the world of people, you know, that are differently abled, and fell in love with it. And so I started working at a school in Sydney for kids that have autism and an intellectual disability. And that's, I guess, where I found that, you know, these kids and these people, I guess, are seen by society as having this diagnosis or this label. But it's not until you get to know them that you realize, you know, they're just as intricate and as different as you and I. You know, they have their likes and their dislikes and those personality quirks. So I guess that was kind of in this school environment where I had this little bubble of thought of Able Finder. And Able Finder is actually bigger than what we're doing on Instagram. I love that whole campaign, and it's very close to my heart. But I guess what started Able Finder was I realized that even though I'd done this four years of study, I wasn't, I guess, the expert that I had gone into this job expecting to be. Because when I had parents come to me or families come to me asking for recommendations for, you know, who could they see outside of the school, or what sensory supports were the best, or what diets they should be using, or even, you know, the local parks that were accessible, often I was referring to information that had come to me from other families. And I realized just then how important that sort of lived-in knowledge was. So that was where, I guess, the whole concept that Able Finder has grown into came from. And from there, I ended up falling in love with a tech nerd, and he kind of, we got into this conversation, and he was kind of like, well, you know, let's do something about it. What can we do? So that's kind of where Able Finder was born, actually. And then from there, we had to go through all of, you know, the hoops of registering a charity and the whole, I guess, business side of things. And then it's kind of just snowballed since then.
That's amazing. And that whole, like, starting a charity and doing all of those things is daunting at best.
Completely. Yes, I feel like I had to, like, become half a lawyer or something, you know, reading all of the various guidelines. And, yeah, it was a massive learning curve.
Yeah, I just love that idea of connecting people, networking, stories. This whole podcast was born out of this idea that differences are so minimized once we really get to know people in close proximity. Mm-hmm. And people's stories help us relate to each other. And, you know, we might find something out about each other that really connects us more than our differences divide us. You know, maybe it's, you know, your passion for cats, or, you know, your the way that you eat, or I don't know, all these other little things that are really connecting places that we can gather around a table or have another, yeah, you know, kind of fun conversation around those other things, and that we're all just people, and, you know, we do have so much in common. And so I love that. And networking is just what makes the world go round, for sure.
Oh, completely. And it's so hard, you know, in this day and age. I think everybody is so busy and our lives have become so separate that networking, you know, it's turned into, you know, social media or on your phone. I think people don't necessarily have, you know, the talks at the school gate or, you know, at the post office or wherever they may have been able to connect before. I think people are missing out on that, you know, that real connection often. And I think it's really important, you know, for your own mental well-being and your family and just, you know, the community in general to be connected.
Yeah, I think we're definitely built for community. So what is that final vision and mission for Able Finder? What are you hoping to do, and how are you going about doing that?
So our mission for Able Finder is to help build a more connected and empowered global disability community. And we have this vision that no person or family who's living with or experiencing disability need to feel isolated or, I guess, in the dark again through this whole journey, especially with the Enable Awareness campaign that we have on Instagram. I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of families and listened to their stories, and that isolation is something that is ingrained in so many of, especially their early sort of years, and that that in the dark as well. I mean, you know, often they're waiting for the doctor's visits or the therapy visits or the hospital visits, where if they may have been able to connect with another family who had been there and done that, you know, they might have had the comfort that comes with, I guess, that hindsight of everything's actually going to be okay. So yeah, that's kind of our mission and vision. And what we're doing at the moment, we've just launched the Able Finder chatbot. I don't know if you want me to go into that now and tell people a little bit about it, or.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's totally where all the cool people are.
So I didn't even know about what a chatbot was at the start of this year. That's something that my fiancé has introduced me to. So The Able Finder chatbot is, I guess, a messaging tool that's built on top of the Facebook Messenger platform. And in particular, the chatbot that we've built, it's designed to connect people and families living with disabilities with others who have had, I guess, or who are experiencing similar things. So what we've done is we've set it up so that people can, I guess, fill out their search selection based on, you know, diagnostic categories, age groups, and also their location, with the idea that they're then matched to somebody who, you know, is within that realm of interests, I guess. And the whole idea behind this is to expand people's existing support networks. So, for example, I had quite a few mums who I worked with at the school who had beautiful kids, but who, I guess, had some behavioural challenges, you know, that kept them up at 2 a.m. and often they would come into school and at 7 a.m. in the morning and they would just want to unload everything that had happened the night before. And the whole idea of this is, what if at that 2 a.m. point where they were like completely wiped out and exhausted and just wanted to talk to somebody about what had happened, they would be able to connect with another mum or another person who would understand and be able to offer that bit of support, you know, that helps them kind of keep going and get through the next day. So that's I guess, the Able Finder chatbot. It's just accessed by clicking the message button at our Able Finder Facebook page. And at the moment, what we're doing is we're collecting all of the data that goes into those search categories so that in February, when we launch the fully functional version where people will actually be matched and be able to connect, we understand where, I guess, you know, the gaps are in terms of, you know, who do we need to find that will be able to chat to this person that has a particular diagnosis or age group or whatever it is. So yeah, that's the Able Finder chatbot. We're really, really excited about it, and we have had a huge amount of support from the community, which is awesome, because this chatbot was very much kind of a why don't we just do this sort of idea, and is being funded out of our back pocket, so it doesn't have a very big budget at all. And it's something that we are really depending on the community, I guess, picking up and running with us, which is also really important to us because we never wanted this to be something that we kind of handed off to the community and said, okay, now use it. We wanted to build it with everybody so that when it is available, it's something that actually meets the needs of the people that are going to be using it. So sorry, I don't know if I've blabbed on for too long, but that's the Able Finder chatbot.
No, that's beautiful. And I can totally relate to that. I have been that mom at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I know that when I connect with other people who have walked in similar shoes, that there's something so powerful and so healing and so encouraging about that. And you think like you can't do it one more second, or, you know, you must be the only person, or you must be a horrible mom because of the things that are going on in your life. And just connecting, even with just one other person who can say, no, I've been there. I get what that feels like. And can even just speak some grounding truth. You know, I feel like sometimes we go off the deep end with our emotions and we get all wrapped up and it's very melodramatic.
Completely.
At least that's my story. And so just to have someone else who has been where you are, but maybe isn't currently in the midst of it, who can say, you know, no, this is what's true and lovely, and I'm here for you, and I see you, and I hear you, and, you know, I can listen to you without judgment and just be in solidarity with you, is, I think, worth all the therapy sessions in the world.
Oh, completely. And I think that's also something that people are missing out on in a way. It was interesting to me coming from, I guess, as being a therapist, sort of, when I started talking to people, the number of families who said that, you know, they didn't want to go and get, I guess, formal counselling or, you know, sit in some, you know, psychologist's office or something like this because they didn't want to have to pay somebody who hadn't actually had that lived-in experience to tell them how to cope with it. They wanted to talk to people who had been there, you know, and I've had so many parents say to me, I wish I could go back, you know, to the day that she was born or he was born and tell myself what I know now is that everything is going to be okay, you know, and they will be able to do so much more than what the doctors said they wouldn't be able to do, or, you know, whatever that message is that at the time, you know, the world ended, if somebody had just been able to tell them that, you know, the whole process might have been that much easier. Yeah, so that's the idea of the Able Finder chatbot, and I guess where it differs maybe from what people are accessing at the moment, which from what we've found out is there's a huge amount of really amazing, you know, grassroots kind of organizations that are happening, and if people don't have access to those, they tend to go to Facebook groups and that sort of thing, which are also very helpful, but I guess the challenge with those is often they're, I guess, public. You know, there's quite a few people within the group, so you might not necessarily want to share everything that you would with one person. And you also don't connect in the same way that you might connect with one person. And also, you know, if everybody there has their own sort of different interests and needs, you end up filtering through a whole lot of other people's conversations. So the idea with this is that it's very much, I guess, built for those busy families or busy people who just need to connect in that moment to kind of continue with the rest of their lives. You know, and if there's a friendship that forms out of it, that's also amazing as well.
Yeah, I love that. It's efficient, which I'm an engineer by trade, and so I love that, okay. You know, not having to filter through all the conversations that don't mean anything to you or are coming from people who maybe don't have the same worldview on what you're coming at. And so that is just amazing. I can't even, and I'm sure this is your techie fiance, like even building and trying to figure out how you match people and what that even looks like. Do you know anything about that?
I'm not even touching it, to be honest. I'm just like, do this and please have it done by February. So, no, I'm not sure. I know like he has a team of people on it, so it's definitely not, a walk in the park, but not in my area of expertise at all.
Yeah. Totally hear that, and totally great that you know where your limitations are and that you have a great team of support around you. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I am very lucky. We also, we're very fortunate to have connected with quite a few people who have, I guess, physical disabilities themselves. So because obviously we want this to be something that's useful across the lifespan. So we want to know, is this accessible for people who might have cerebral palsy, for example? And the cool thing about it being built on top of Facebook is that Facebook have this whole accessibility team working to make sure that Facebook is accessible. So it means that if something, for whatever reason, isn't, we can actually go to Facebook and say, okay, how are you going to fix this? Rather than it being something that's necessarily solely our problem that we then have to try and figure out on our limited budget. So, yeah, we're hoping that it will be as useful to as many people as possible.
Yeah, brilliant. Use Facebook. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Let Facebook do the work.
Yeah, exactly. They have the money.
What have you, as you've connected with families about this, what's some of the feedback that you're getting? Are you starting to get feedback on this chatbot? I know I've been able to register using it, and it is amazing, and I can see the potential, and it's easy, and it was quick, and again, it used Facebook Messenger, so it was right at the tips of my fingers. What are other people saying about this?
Yeah, I think everybody is really excited that there is something that will be available, and also that it's something that's come from the community. I think I absolutely love, like, I do happy dances when somebody messages and says, like, we are going to, you know, help so many people with this. You know, the fact that they've said we is a dream come true, because, like I said before, this is something that I really wanted to do with the community. So to have people taking it on like that as a project that's important to them, that they are going to help us, you know, see through, is just incredible. Everybody has just been super supportive and super excited, we're just over the moon with the response. I think within the first 2 days, we did launch it sort of within a smaller reference type group, and within 2 days we had, I think, nearly 100 people register, and I think in the last week we've had, you know, 100 more. So the response has just been phenomenal.
That's amazing, because I feel like sometimes people have great ideas and then getting them out to the world is like just as challenging as launching the actual organization. So you're doing an amazing job of connecting with people and kind of getting that critical mass to push this over the edge. So
yeah,
I'm really excited about that.
I have to say it's a daunting prospect taking on the globe. But I guess we're obviously starting off with the English speaking countries. at the moment, and I guess focusing on those bigger countries like the UK and the States and Australia, just to kind of get people on board who will be able to be there to chat, and then, you know, we'll continue filtering out to everywhere else. But, you know, for example, I connected with a little local organization here in Bulgaria. It was started by the dad of a girl who has autism, and he is just so cut off from everything to do with, you know, what might be able to help his child, that he's doing it completely on his own and doing a fantastic job. But for example, like this girl, she's 9, she can't even attend school here because there is just no support set up to help her access that environment. So when I was telling him about this project, you know, his eyes kind of lit up at the fact that he might be able to, you know, connect with somebody in the States who might be able to help him train somebody that he could then send to school with his daughter so that she could learn, you know, and experience that whole childhood that, you know, his son has and, you know, most other children get to experience. So I think that's one of the really exciting parts about this whole project is, you know, they say the world is a big place, but then it can also be a small place. And we want to kind of bring it together so that doesn't matter where you are, you will be able to access those kinds of support and the knowledge that a lot of other people have access to.
That's amazing. And that's really humbling to me because here in the States, obviously, we have a lot of legislation and a lot of things mm-hmm. in place that make it such that the school system is supposed to be supporting inclusivity and servicing our kids. And a lot of times we get in these situations and, you know, there's systems and there's limited resources and a lot of need. And so our kids don't always get resourced in the best possible way and maybe in the mm-hmm. way that we as parents would, you know, want to see. And so we, you know, we pick these fights and we get our mama bear on and we, you know, go fight for our kids. But it's so humbling to realize that there are other places in the world where they're at ground zero. You know, their child can't even be in school. It's not that they need better services. It's just that they need services at all. And so that's completely something that, you know, I'm thinking, gosh, we need to be really thankful for that we are where we are. Not that there's not always room for improvement in all of those places, but just wow.
No, it's definitely been one of the more shocking and I guess humbling experiences being here. We met, I think in the first few weeks that I was in Bulgaria, we met a woman and she had a daughter with Down syndrome, and she was telling me that when her daughter was born, the doctors, they told her not to look at it and, you know, not to show her any love because it was better if she was just sent off to one of these institutions that's up in the mountains and kind of, you know, forgotten about, which was just heartbreaking, you know, to hear. And she, you know, decided to keep her daughter, thank goodness, and she's happy. But, you know, you don't see walking around the streets, you don't see anybody really with any sort of difference or disability. It's all kind of kept behind closed doors and is, I guess, almost a shameful type thing. So, yeah, there needs to be a lot of change here. But, you know, connecting with these people, like this dad, for example, he's set up this whole program with the idea that his daughter and other kids that have these differences and disabilities are, I guess, integrated and have the opportunity to mingle with the local children, with the idea that those kids will recognize that they can be friends with these, you know, these kids with differences and that they have things in common, so that as this next generation goes forward, there isn't, I guess, this, I don't want to say ignorance, but, you know, this fear that comes from the unknown of what this person has or cannot or can do. Yeah, it's a whole world of, I guess, need and things that need to happen.
Yeah, I love that. So you have this chatbot, which is, I mean, if that was the only thing you guys ever did, it would be a smashing success. Do you have other things that you're envisioning, other dreams that Able Finder could do? Are you allowed to share those things?
Yes. No, we have a shopping list of things. So the other things, I guess, at this point, we are focusing on the Australian market just because that's what I know. So I won't go into a lot of detail because it's kind of, I guess, boring, but in Australia, they've rolled out what's called the National Disability Insurance Scheme, with the whole idea that rather than giving service providers funding to be able to provide services, they said, why don't we give that money to the parents and the families and the people who are accessing the services so they get to choose where they spend that money, which is amazing in theory. Unfortunately, what has resulted from that is there are now what some parents have called industry cowboys. So these people who are saying, you know, I can cure autism or whatever, that are just after this money that's now available. So one of the things that we are working at doing is setting up an actual app. This one will be where I guess parents or people can search for service providers and individual service providers that have been reviewed by the community, so they'll be able to actually see, okay, you know, is this person who they say they are they skilled in this area that they said they are? What is their availability like? Because that's also often a problem. You know, somebody says you should see this person and then it's like a 6-month waiting list and that's just not possible. So pretty much the whole idea is to give people as much information as possible so that when they go to make that first appointment or contact this service provider, they are empowered to know that, you know, they're making this decision from an informed position. So that's one of the things. And I guess on top of that, we want to create almost like a storage space where people can upload documents or all of sort of the information that goes along with them or their child, because we've talked to a lot of people and found that people are often having to fill out the same forms over and over again, and often they're very deficit oriented, which can be, you know, a hugely emotional journey. So having that information available that they can sort of download and just send without having to repeat and all of the time and effort that goes along with that. So it's kind of like a multifaceted, I guess, app, but our whole hope with this new one is, I guess, to make the healthcare journey of people that much easier so that people then have the time and the money, you know, to actually go out and enjoy their lives as opposed to spending hours trying to, you know, research who should they be seeing for their child or filling out paperwork or whatever, you know, the task is.
Yeah, you just hit on some problems that I didn't even know I had. I mean, I'm just thinking about my journey, and I do it, you know, you spend hours vetting providers, and a lot of times it comes absolutely through other people. You mm-hmm. ask friends, you know, who has met this person or who has worked with this person and what was the outcome. And in our situation, just a really small, very specific situation, that we have a practitioner in our area that is doing incredible work with, you know, brain rehabilitation and neurofeedback and laser treatments and all of these really cool up and coming technologies and new innovative treatments that really are in my wheelhouse of how I want treatment to look for my kiddos. But their office staff is just like horrendous to work with. They're disorganized, and it's just, so every time I want to tell people, you know, you need to go try this, and then I always feel like I have to put this disclaimer on it, but like, just know that you're going to be angry about like this part of the journey, but there's no one else to do that. And then you're right, we've done a whole battery of new evaluations for our son this fall and looking to get more services, and I do, if I have to fill out like one more like 56 page like bubble chart about like which words he can say and which skills he can mm-hmm, do and mm-hmm. what his social skills are. I mean, it's just hours in my life I'll never get back.
It's, you know, yeah, we've asked people like just to put a figure on it. And I mean, in Australia, people were saying that they spent roughly like, you know, on average about 400 hours per year just researching, you know, which therapist that they should be seeing. And then on top of that, spending that, you know, that approximate was about $2,000 a year driving to the various therapists and, you know, sitting through that first evaluation and then deciding that they weren't the right fit. And then, you know, having the phone calls and getting charged for the emails. And I mean, it's a hugely costly exercise. And you hit the nail on the head with what you said, like, you know, it's a lot of it comes through word of mouth. And so what we kind of wanted to do was create this environment where that information that exists already in the community is just that much more accessible to people who might not have that person that's already been there and done that, you know. Yeah, just to try and save everybody time and money, which I'm sure is best spent, you know, elsewhere. Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if this is quite a universal kind of problem.
what you said about, like, even just the deficit evaluations, like how it's often, it really highlights kind of all the deficits of your child. And in some ways, you need that. You need to know what's going on. The provider needs to know what's going on to best serve. But it is emotional. Like, I always think I've made peace with where we are, you know, with our diagnoses and where we are, like what our prognosis is and what life will look like in 15 or 20 years. But then, like, every time I sit down to fill out and you just put, it's like focusing on those deficits just for the sake of time, because you can't be a whole person on paper. And so you just focus on the things that are relevant. And all of a sudden you look at it and it's like, it's like a smack upside the head every single time, because you're like, oh gosh, like I thought we were doing so well. And then you like look at all of the symptoms clustered together on a single sheet of paper and you're like, oh gosh. And it can be emotional. It can be, especially when I wasn't expecting it to be emotional. You know, you think I've filled these out 100 million times. But then every time, you know, you kind of look at it and I'm like, oh wow, that's a dose of reality.
Yeah, completely. And the funny, not the funny thing, but it's interesting to be the therapist and, you know, like I've been there and asked the parents to fill out these forms. But then on the other side of it, you're actually focusing on, okay, so now what do you want them to be able to do when they're 20? You know, and then it's all about like ability and what would you like them to do, and tell me all of the things that they like doing, because, you know, we want to try and engage them in whatever, you know, we're trying to work on. So I guess to save people the time that they're spending and the stress of filling out these, I guess, deficit-oriented forms, so that they have the time to have the conversations, you know, with how can we support this child or this person by incorporating all of the things they can do. Because, I mean, we know that all kids and people learn best when they're, you know, successful, and continue the therapy and the whole journey that way, as opposed to getting bogged down in forms and just all of the unnecessary stress that goes along with, I guess, the unknowns and, yeah, paperwork.
Yeah, that's just amazing. I love that. I can't wait to see it take off. And if anyone in the U.S. is listening and feels like I could do that here, I mean, I would be your biggest supporter, because I think there's just such a need everywhere.
Our big hope is that I guess that we'll make Australia our test case, and then we will you know, try it out in the States. And that's also, I guess, the exciting part of starting off with this chatbot, is it means that we will be connecting with people from all over the world, and we'll have support from all over the world, so that when it comes to then going, okay, this worked here, like now let's see if we can make it work in the States or in the UK or wherever, we have the people that we know we can go to and say, okay, you know, let's roll it out in your area, or can you test this for us? Or so, yeah. We do see this being something that would be easily transferable outside of Australia, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're being so smart about it, because like you said, you're going to have this amazing network of people to draw from. And so you can be in any country you want, and you'll have, you know, thousands, possibly millions of people already in your network. And so that's just, I don't know if you meant it to be that way, but it's brilliant, really.
We put a lot of thought into it, but our biggest thing was, you know, we wanted people to really trust us. And I think that's so important, because I think, you know, every day people are probably offered various products or services that end up flopping. So we wanted to really make sure that we gave people something that was really useful and that made their lives easier in even a small way, so that then the next time we come around and say, okay, now we've got this crazy idea, what do you think about this, that they'll be even more receptive to us. And, you know, our whole focus was to make sure that this was all non-profit. You know, we're not about trying to make money out of other people's situations. We really just want to help make people's lives that bit easier. So we don't have the budget, so we do need, you know, that, I guess, tribe behind us, which is what we're slowly building up now, you know, with the campaign that we have on Instagram and now with this Able Finder chatbot. So it's all really exciting.
Yeah, that's great. So what can people do globally? I mean, obviously you have
register with a chatbot. And so we'll put the link to your Facebook page on the show notes page, and people can go right there. And like you said, just as soon as you click message, it's really just as easy as that. It's like, you know, texting a couple things to a computer, but through Messenger, so accessible to everyone. What are other ways that people can get involved, help support you, help further your effort?
I think our biggest challenge at this point is, you know, we do have a lot of people that are supporting us, but at the same time, we are trying to connect with an enormous amount of people. So in whatever way people can help us, you know, expand our community, whether that means introducing us to their local, for example, Down syndrome community or association, or even just sharing the chatbot within their own network, I guess, you know, just telling people about it is something that we would just be over the moon if people would get behind. I mean, on top of that, we are also applying for various grants and that sort of thing. So I guess if anybody is aware of, you know, for example, a grant opportunity that might be appropriate to us, we would love to hear about it. Our biggest challenge is just growing this community. So whatever help we can get in expanding our numbers as fast as possible would be amazing, because our plan at this point is to launch the fully functional version of the Able Finder chatbot in February, which means we really want people who are there and, you know, ready to chat and to use it, and the more the better.
Yeah, and that's so easy. I mean, everyone can do that. What and where can we find you on other places in social media? So we mentioned you have an Instagram account. We'll definitely link to that too, and that's an easy, you know, search you and follow you situation. Mm-hmm. So are there other places that people can, you know, reach out, follow you, help grow your influence in your community and share with other people?
At the moment, we are just on Facebook and Instagram. We do have a website, if anybody, which kind of, you know, gives you a bit more of a rundown of the chatbot and also about us. So that one's www.ablefinder.org.au. I can send it to you as well. But yeah, that's kind of where we exist at this point on the internet and social media.
Yeah, which is really where all the your target audience, really where you are, where you need to be. That's, you know, you don't really need any more than that. That's,
to be honest, I'm terrified of Twitter, so I haven't even touched that.
Too.
I don't even know how it works.
I've talked about this on the show before. I am on it, and I have a friend who loves it because it's short and sweet, but I cannot wrap my mind around it. And I don't know, I feel like, and maybe it's just the people I follow, maybe I need to just start, you know, scrap it and start over. I feel like it's way more political than my bones want to read. And it feels right now very European, which works for you. But I feel like all the mom bloggers are all like in England, which is fine. It's totally great. But I feel like I want to connect with people here in the States. Like, no one in the States, none of my target audience, none of the moms and the kind of like stay-at-home moms and all of those things, no one's on Twitter. So I have this like love-hate relationship with it. It's mostly a hate relationship, honestly.
Well, you've done more than me. I don't think I've even opened it yet.
Yeah. Well, you're not missing much. I think you should just hang out on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, they both take up so much of my time anyway. I don't know if I have time for the tweeting or any of the other. Yeah.
There's only so much a person can do. which brings me to kind of in this world of watching people's curated Instagram feeds and their beautiful pictures and Facebook and all of these things. You know, we often put our best foot forward in all of those spaces. And so I think it, to your point of just, you know, in the special needs community, feeling isolated, because I feel like we're watching all these pictures of able-bodied people and families and having, you know, they're doing these things for the, you know, holidays or for school starting, and you're thinking, gosh, you know, my family can't handle that. But so that's isolating in and of itself. But just as in general, I think everyone gets on social media and often feels less than, even if you're, you know, don't have a diagnosable anything. And I think as, you know, women entrepreneurs, and we think we should be doing it all. But, I mean, clearly we all have the same 24 hours in a day. We really need to sleep. We really need to eat. So we're not doing it all. So what are you not doing?
So I was thinking about this, and I mean, I made my little list of the things that I wished, you know, that I was doing, that I see people doing on the various Instagram accounts that I follow. And of course, you know, I'm not going to the gym as often as I'd like, or, you know, spending as much time with my fiance as I'd like. I mean, we're like 5 months out from our wedding now, and I haven't even organized invitations, which is a whole other drama. But, you know, so there's all of these things that I wished I was doing, and I'm not even like a mom, so I don't feel like I have that much of an excuse. But I think the one big thing that I know is affecting me, and I think it's also not something that you necessarily see portrayed on social media because it's all about, you know, the public eye, is being present and just being okay being on my own, or, you know, just being still. My mom always says to me, you need to like learn how to relax because I'm so busy. Like, I'm in this mindset of you need to be busy all of the time. Like, you're wasting time if you're not busy, that it means that if I sit down, like, I don't know what to do with myself. So that's kind of something that, for me, I feel like I'm not looking after myself because I'm not comfortable just being still or enjoying the present, I guess.
Yeah, you and me, we're in the same boat because I don't do that still thing either. In fact, I'm in a business coaching cohort right now, and they were talking about time management and scheduling, and I do really well with a schedule. I do follow my mm-hmm. calendar really well. It's probably one of the things that holds me most accountable, but I realize, like, I need to schedule in, like, the fun things too, or they just fall by the wayside. Like, I kind of almost need to schedule my day out, like, to the 15-minute mark, but I need to put, like, sit on the sofa for 30 minutes and read a good book. Or,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Remember to go to the bathroom and take a drink of water. Like, I almost need to just have those because I get so excited about my to-do list to just have, you know, running through it to have things done and checking off something on my to-do list is like, I don't know, it's like
the
my
best.
Love language. Yeah.
Me too. I love checking things off.
And so I get so excited about that. And because all of those things are just like, you know, the business things or the work things or the appointments with people and the meetings and all of those things, you jump from one to the other and you just kind of forget about those other spaces in life that you should be taking care of, the laundry, the cleaning, the cooking yeah. for yourself, or the people that you're supposed to be feeding, in my case. And so I was like, I just need to put those in and just so I remind myself that I have to do those things.
Completely. It kind of hit me the other day when, like, my fiancé, I should just call him by his name, Andreas, he came to, like, hug me, and I was like, I don't have time for this. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, I'm on my schedule. Like, don't mess with my schedule. And I was kind of like, wait a minute. Like, life revolves outside of your schedule. Like, you should be able to just enjoy this moment. Yeah. I think that kind of comes out of this whole social media world. You know, these people all look so successful and happy and they seem to be so busy and just, I don't know, amazing that you kind of feel like you need to, like, keep up with them by being busy or whatever. But, I don't think it leads to a very healthy lifestyle if you don't have also the counterbalance.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our brain needs time to process and rest, and I know mm-hmm. all these things in my head, but I'll tell you, silence and stillness is really uncomfortable. It's kind of a practice that you really have to develop.
Yeah, I can talk about it till I'm blue in the face, but when I actually come to doing it, I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. all right, well, those are the things that we're not doing. What's your best life hack right now for all of those things that you're trying to fit in? What is something that's helping you keep it all together?
My big thing, and I've only just kind of started this in the last month or so, is doing yoga and just breathing. You know, I know in myself, like, I can't meditate at all. Like, if I sit down, I'll just start making lists in my head of what I should be doing. But I found that with yoga, because I'm moving and I'm, you know, focusing on what I'm doing, that I can kind of find that peace. So I start every morning now by getting up. And the first thing I do, I don't look at my phone or I don't do anything other than just put my mat down and just do like 15 minutes of yoga. Or even, you know, if I'm during the day, I find myself being really agitated and cranky, like, I'll just, you know, just do a little bit of yoga. And one of the things that I like, and I heard one of the teachers say the other day, you know, he said that your breath is inherently present because it's happening right now. So if you just focus on your breath, either through like stillness or yoga flow, you are present because you're with your breath. So even for those like 15 minutes while I'm on the mat, like, I'm at least feel like, okay, I've got this kind of being present and, you know, just focused while I'm here, and then I can go back to being, you know, my chaotic self outside of it. But it does really help, I think, just to ground me in the morning so that I kind of manage to make it through the rest of my day and not be too cranky by the end of it.
Yeah, I love that. And I love, because to me, a lot of times when people use the verbiage of like, be present or, you know, ground yourself, I'm thinking like, I don't know, that's not explicit enough to me. Like, I don't understand what that means. And so I think what you're saying, you know, like, is so much more practical. Like, if you can just focus on your breath, we all breathe. So you could just put your, you know, attention there, you know, and I think sometimes we think meditation has to be like the emptying of our mind, but it really doesn't necessarily. It just has to be maybe something a little bit more rhythmic or something outside of what we would normally be doing. And so focusing on your breathing or focusing on, you know, lights spinning around somewhere or something, you know, just gives us a guide about what does that practically mean to, you know, be still and be present. And, you know, and yoga is amazing. You're right. And moving is so great. Whenever I can be moving, I feel like that helps keep my mind from, I don't know, I feel like everything, something has to be moving. So it's either my mind or my body.
Yeah.
And so if I'm going to ask my mind to be still, then clearly my body must be moving.
Yeah, I used to run all of the time at home, and then, I don't know, I've done something to one of my legs, and now I can't run anymore, so I was like, okay, I have to find something else that will, you know, keep me sane, so yoga's kind of become my new, I guess, healthy addiction, but I don't know, I feel like there could be worse things, so.
Yeah, I think you'll be okay.
Until I was listening, actually, I was listening to one of the, because I just do it like off YouTube or whatever, and I was doing yoga the other day, and the instructor was like, you know, and this is a really great short yoga practice, you know, if you can do it, why not do another hour class and make your practice 2 hours a day? And I was kind of like, who has 2 hours a day to do yoga? Like, it sounds nice, but I'm
really
struggling
having heart
to
palpitations,
fit 15
like,
minutes in.
Thinking about
Yeah.
Great. No. I am totally with you. Well, I am so thankful that we were able to figure this out between the time changes and the, all of those things. And I love that I got to hear more about this because I know we've been chatting, you know, texting back and forth a little bit about the chatbot. And so to just hear it envisioned out, I'm so much more excited now than I was. Not that I wasn't excited before, but now I'm like,
no,
ecstatic.
I may have to heat. Yeah.
yeah. That I can wrap my mind around it. And I hope that this show can help make it so that you don't have to repeat yourself 100 million times and people can come here and just hear about all the dreams you have and get behind it and share it and help it grow. And you're brave and smart and innovative and so many things. And I just love your heart and your passion and the fact that you're putting feet behind the problems that you see in the world. So it's just incredible.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, people say this and I'm so touched all the time, but it's been, I mean, every family that we connect with has just been so open and supportive. So I really feel like we wouldn't even be, you know, halfway where we are now if it wasn't for families like yours and everybody else who supported us. So I feel like, you know, all of that amazing praise and everything should really be for everyone, because at the end of the day, we'll all be looking back after it's successful and go, like, we built that. So yeah, it's very much a community thing. And I'm so proud to be a part of this tribe. I mean, you know, I don't have the child or I don't have for myself this difference or this disability. So to be, I guess, embraced the way that I have been and this project has been within this community has just been really, really humbling. And yeah, we're so grateful.
Well, I love it. So thanks so much again for being here.
Thank you so much. And whatever I can do to help as well, I think what you're doing is amazing, and big love to you and your family.
If you know me in real life or have been following me for a while, you know that connecting with other people and helping other people make connections is kind of what I live for. I am so excited about the Able Finder chatbot. If you're a parent of a child with a disability or perhaps have a disability of your own, head to Facebook now and register to be part of this community. If you don't have a disability, I'm betting you know someone who does, so please share this amazing tool with them. You can search Able Finder on Facebook, or there's a link on the show notes page at www.thecorkums.com. While you're there, connect with Able Finder on Instagram and also check out that blog post I was talking about at the beginning of the show about ways we can start thinking about a secure future for our kids with special needs. I'd also love to know what you're not doing in life right now. You can share the photographic evidence using the hashtag #MommySlacker. For general feedback about the podcast, use the hashtag #TheUncorkedPodcast or leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Next week, I'll have two guests who are walking way outside their comfort zones to tell their stories in an effort to hopefully help others feel not so alone. You don't want to miss it. See you next week.